And welcome to the Educate Your Travel Podcast. Once again, my name is Jordan Carnes. Thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot wait to get into this episode, hopefully just invigorate you, get you excited about getting up, getting out, and traveling, exploring, and experiencing the world. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and quit talking so I can keep talking, and let's get into the episode. And welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me here today. So today's episode, I'm actually going to be talking about UNESCO World Heritage Sites, the ones that I've visited, and then I'm going to rank my top 10. And if you don't know, UNESCO World Sites are sort of voted on and chosen by a group who really, you know, chooses sites that have significant value to culture, and basically just the heritage of the world in the area that it's by. Now, this can either be, you know, historical places, it can be like monuments, it can be natural places like national parks, things like that. But they all hold some significant value. And, you know, most of the places that you visit that are just really awesome are more than likely UNESCO World Heritage Sites. There's 1,121 of them. So there's a lot, and more than likely you've been to a couple of them. They're all over the world, which is really cool. And they're just pretty awesome. I came up with this idea for this episode probably a month or two ago. I ran across, these travelers. I can't remember if it was a blog or a vlog or what it was. But their goal is to visit all the UNESCO World Heritage Sites. And I feel like most travelers sort of have a goal that they're trying to reach, whether it's, you know, go to the Seven Wonders of the World, visit every country, go to 50 countries, whatever it might be. And so it was really interesting to see this goal. I'd never seen that before. No one's ever done it. But, you know, I started to look into it. I'm like, wow, 1,100 sites. That's a daunting goal right there. Not to mention the fact that this is like a growing, a living list, in a sense. Every year the committee gets together and votes on new sites. And so they can add sites, they can take away sites. And so it's really, you know, it's ever changing. And each year, you know, they might add 10 to 20 more sites. So by the time you get to that 1,121, there's probably going to be a few hundred more that you have to get to. But like I said, they can kind of take some away if the countries that are in charge of these places kind of don't follow their guidelines. When I was looking at, it was a onyx sanctuary in Oman, which it's like a sort of deer, antelope, buffalo weird thing with the long horns on it. And basically, there was like a preserve there for them, and then the government Oman like took away 90% of the preserve to like do mining or drilling or something like that. And so the population of this like onyx population there went from like 200 and something to like 30. And they're like, yeah, we can't sponsor this anymore. So it doesn't happen too often, but every once in a while things can be delisted. But like I said, I went through. I've actually been to about 30 sites. I wrote down 30, but some of them, it's like, I've seen this, but I didn't really spend a lot of time there, so I'm going to write it down. Or, you know, it's like a whole broad area, and I'm like, I might have hit the edge of this UNESCO site. It's not like you have to buy a ticket to go to every UNESCO World Heritage Site. I mean, some entire cities are recognized as a World Heritage Site. So there might be a couple more that I didn't write down. There might be some that I wrote down that, you know, I probably didn't actually go there. But we'll see as we walk through it. I'm going to kind of walk through them in the order that they were listed. I believe it started in like 78 or something like that. They skipped last year's meeting because of COVID. And so they're supposed to have another meeting this year to add some more. Nothing on the like tentative list for 2021's ballot. I hadn't been to any of those, so no worries there. This should hold true for a little while at least. So the first one that I wrote down is the Grand Canyon. And the Grand Canyon is amazing. It's in the United States, and it's, you know, this huge canyon carved out by the Colorado River. I haven't been in a long time. I honestly can't even remember when I went there. I think I was like 8 or something like that. So that was like a long time ago. But it's an amazing, amazing, you know, natural wonder. And, you know, the views are awesome. There's amazing hiking there. And it's just a really cool place. It's a nice natural place. I feel like whenever I travel, I sort of have, you know, sort of a genre for the trip. It's usually like a natural trip or it's like a historic trip. And so it's always nice when you can kind of mix the two together. And so I love, you know, the idea of the Grand Canyon. I want to go back there and just kind of do some hiking and explore around. The views are great. And it's definitely something that you should check out if you have the opportunity. All right, so next is historic Cairo in Egypt. So this is like old Cairo. And I spent a little bit of time in old Cairo. Funny story, I tried to go to the El Khalili market, which is like a huge bazaar there. And I kind of got scammed by this guy. It kind of joke was on him, and I'll tell you why in a second. But I kind of got scammed by this guy because he was like, oh, the El Khalili market is closed today. And there was a holiday going on that day. And so I had reason to believe him that he was telling the truth. I don't have any proof that he wasn't telling me the truth, but I just feel like the El Khalili market probably does not close that often. But anyway, so he was telling me like, oh, it's closed, but, you know, I'll take you to the old Cairo market. And I'm like, okay, you know, if I can't go to the El Khalili market, might as well go to the old market down in old Cairo. So I go there, he drops me off, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of tourism. It was the middle, it was in November, tourism was pretty low. And so I'm trying to pay him, and he's like, no, like, let me sit here, I'll wait on you. And basically, like, let me be your driver for the rest of the day. And I don't really like that. I've mentioned this before. I don't like hiring a driver for the day because then I feel like time pressure on myself where I don't think I can really spend as much time as I want to in a place because I know this guy's waiting on me. And so, you know, I was like, no, like, let me just pay you now. If you want to sit around, that's fine. But I'm just going to walk around, explore. And so eventually, you know, I just got tired of arguing with him. And so I was like, fine, whatever, like, stay here. I'll be back after a while, but it's going to be like an hour at least. And he was like, oh, okay, no big deal. So I like start just wandering around. I leave the vehicle and I start walking around. I go to this random little hole in a wall for lunch. They don't speak any English. And I'm just like, basically pointing at my mouth, like, I'm hungry, give me food. And they're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they just go back to the kitchen and bring me a whole bunch of random stuff. And it was amazing. But anyway, so I wander around, I have lunch, you know, I go to a few different shops, just explore, kind of like go into the slummy area. Might have not have been the best idea, but it was pretty interesting. And so eventually, probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I kind of just stumble back out to the parking area wherever this guy had dropped me off, and he's nowhere in sight. And I'm like, where is this guy? So I'm like, I'm walking up and down. I like walk the entire parking lot area to look for him. I don't see him. And so I'm like, well, I guess he left. I mean, I was here for a long time, but I told him I was going to be. So finally, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just go catch another taxi. And so I start walking off, and this like random guy just comes running up to me, and he's like, oh, your taxi driver said that he had to leave. He was looking for you, but he left, and so pay me, and I'll give him the money. And I was like, no, I'm not just going to give you his money just because you said he was looking for me and you know him. Like, that's not sketchy at all. And so he got upset with me, and I'm like, look, you know, you might know him, but I'm not just going to give you, you know, money just because you said this. Like, if he wants the money, he can come and get it, but I'm not going to just give it to you. And so basically, you know, he got really upset and started like yelling at me and everything. I was like, whatever. And I go over and I just catch another cab and I go back to my hotel. So, you know, whether it was a scam or not, in the end, I guess I kind of came out on top. It was a fun afternoon. And I got kind of a free cab ride there. So rather interesting. So ancient historic Cairo is pretty cool. Most places in Egypt are pretty cool. I mean, sure, it's intense. Sometimes it's kind of aggressive and hostile towards tourists. And not like in a bad hostile way, but just like in the aggressive, like vendors trying to like sell you things and get you to buy their stuff. And it's just pretty crazy. I think I've mentioned this before, but my sister was always telling me that, you know, when you go to India, you're going to be shocked. Like, it's going to be crazy and in your face. And when I went to India, I was like, this is a piece of cake compared to Egypt. Like, Egypt was insane. So yeah, all of Egypt is crazy, but it's also incredible as well. So definitely go to Egypt if you ever have the opportunity. Next is Independence Hall, which is also in the United States. I feel like a lot of times, you know, the United States doesn't get a lot of historical clout or anything like that just because it's such a young country. I mean, what? We're like 200 and almost 50 years old. And so, you know, you go to Europe and you're like, oh, look, that building's, you know, 500-600 years old. Or you go to Egypt and you're like, wow, this pyramid's 5,000 years old. And then you go to, you know, the United States and like the oldest building is like 400 years old. And you're like, wow, like it's pretty crazy just to put things into perspective. So it's pretty cool to see how many places on the U.S. were UNESCO sites, just the different qualifications that make it that way. It's pretty cool. So Independence Hall, it was really a really cool place. I went there probably 10 years ago, and maybe longer than that, but it was a really cool place. All of downtown Philadelphia is pretty awesome. The Liberty Bell is right across the street from Independence Hall. They signed the Declaration of Independence there. So it's just really cool, you know, U.S. history. And there's not a lot of really old places in the United States like that. It's a pretty awesome place. Next is Kathmandu Valley in Nepal. Now, this is one of those where it's like, Kathmandu Valley? What? Kathmandu is a cool place. It's very, you know, it's what you picture when you picture like Asia and, you know, something like in Nepal like that. Everything's really dirty and rustic. It's like a backpacker haven. It's an awesome place. And I feel like a lot of people go there and just stay a long time. At my hostel, I would say, you know, I'd go up on the roof every night and kind of just like enjoy the sunset, enjoy the views. And there'd always be like a group of people up there just talking. And every time I'd go up there and talk, there would be people who were there, you know, had been in Nepal for like 6 months, a year. And so there's a ton to do in Nepal, whether it's, you know, visiting temples and historic sites or, you know, hiking in the Himalayas. There's just a ton to do there. And it's definitely a place that you should, you know, go to, whether you like history, whether you like nature. You know, it has it all. It has culture. And it's just an awesome country. And, you know, Kathmandu is kind of just like the heart of that country. And so it's a really cool place. Next is Versailles in France. Versailles was one of the past palaces of the royals there in France, the French royals. I'm pretty positive in this that Versailles was like the palace before the Louvre became the palace. Basically, I think the story was that they lived out in Versailles, and Versailles is about an hour metro ride from Paris. So I can't even imagine how far that would be, like on a horse and buggy or whatever, maybe 2 or 3 hours. And so apparently they lived out there, and then basically all the people were like, you know, the royals can't even connect to us because they don't even live in our city. And so the kings and queens and whoever were in charge back then were like, you know, maybe we should, you know, move this huge palace into the city so we can kind of, you know, seem more connected to the people here. And so I believe Versailles then became sort of like a summer home or like a getaway, things like that. But it's a really cool place. You can go there and, you know, explore the palace, explore the gardens. The gardens are so vast. When I went there, I walked, I don't even know how many miles. I was there like all day. It's an incredible, incredible place to visit, very unique, and it just shows like the grandeur of that time period. So next to that is Sigiriya in Sri Lanka. Sigiriya is Lion's Rock there. It's like an old fortress. And, you know, all of Sri Lanka is awesome. It just has a great jungle vibe to it. When I was there, there wasn't a ton of tourism going on, and so it really felt more secluded to me. I'd actually come from India, so anything feels more secluded than India. But I had spent, a few days in Indonesia, and Indonesia and Sri Lanka really had the same like jungle atmosphere, in my opinion. But Sri Lanka was just so much more peaceful and more relaxed and more, more off the beaten path. I don't think it might necessarily be like that all the time, but because of, events that had happened, within the past year there, the previous year, tourism was way down. And so it was just a great time to visit there and just really, get to see what Sri Lanka was all about. Sigirirya was really cool. It's just like right in the heart of the country there. And it's really cool. There's a lot of history there. And just the jungle atmosphere was really cool. So definitely recommend checking out Sri Lanka. It's for sure one of the countries that I want to go back to one day. Agra Fort in India. This is one of those sites where I didn't actually like go into it, but I was like right next to it. I saw it. I drove by it a few times. All of Agra is really awesome. The next one on my list, which I'm going to come back to, is the Taj Mahal. It's in Agra as well. But India is just really crazy. But Agra really encapsulated what I imagined India to be. For some reason, New Delhi did not really truly represent what India was in my mind. It was a little bit more, modern and things like that. But when you got to Agra, I mean, that's where you saw, just kids running around everywhere. There were cows all over the roads. Rickshaws were everywhere. It was kind of just crazy atmosphere. And so that's when I was like, okay, this is India. This is awesome. I love this. This is crazy and amazing. So Agra Fort is just right there in the middle of Agra. It's a cool site. I did not actually go inside, but I had a few choices that I could make when it came to what I could do in my time span. And so the Agra Fort did not make it. But if I ever go back, I'll definitely throw that in there. Next is the Statue of Liberty, which is also in the United States. It's right off there right off the harbor there in New York City. And, I feel like the Statue of Liberty is iconic. It's, what you think of when you think of the United States. And it means so much to so many different people for so many different reasons. And so it's an amazing, addition to the UNESCO World Heritage Site list. And it's pretty cool. Just go visit. You can take a ferry out there. You can actually climb inside the Statue of Liberty. You can climb up to the top of it. It's really awesome. If you're ever in the New York area, you can really just see this thing from anywhere on the water edge there. And if you get the opportunity to go out to the Statue of Liberty. Ellis Island is out there as well. It's just an awesome place. And it just kind of represents all of what the United States is all about. So I'm glad that this was on the list, and I'm glad that I was able to check it off and say that I had been there. So right after that, another United States edition is Yosemite National Park in California. Yosemite is one of the first really big national parks that I've been to, and it is awesome. I mean, there's so many, significant places there. There's so many iconic locations. There's Half Dome. There's Al Capitan. It's an amazing place, and I think my favorite, this is like, typical Yosemite. It's when you're driving through the tunnel. I think almost every good national park has like a tunnel view, and you're just driving through this huge tunnel, and all of a sudden it just like spreads out, and there's just like an amazing view of the park. And so tunnel view in Yosemite is iconic, and it's just amazing. I really have a hard time with huge national parks just because how crazy and crowded they are. And I feel like that's the exact opposite of what you want when you go out into nature. You don't want to be surrounded by 1,000 people. But Yosemite is an awesome place. And so it's definitely worth it to, battle the crowds for a day or two just to check out all that it has to offer. Next is Gorme and the rock sites of Cappadocia in Turkey. Now, there's so much in Gourmet. I mean, there are the houses carved into the rocks. There's just the fairy chimneys in and of themselves. There are the, you know, decorated carved pillared churches and the paintings and the carvings. There's so much history there. The nature is beautiful. There's a ton of hiking and just amazing sights. And so, you know, Gourmet and Cappadocia just all together is a must-see if you're in Turkey. I feel like that's one of the main reasons people like to go to Turkey, and rightly so. Next, back in Turkey, is Hierapolis and Pamukkale. I mentioned this at the end of my last episode when I was talking about Turkey in general, but Pamukkale in and of itself is not that impressive in my opinion. If that's all that was there, I would say skip it, go do something else. But Hierapolis is awesome, and it's one of the best preserved sites that I've ever been to. The theater there is absolutely incredible. There's so much detail left, like the entire backdrop of the theater is still standing. And so, you know, Hierapolis really makes this and makes a solid case to visit. And so, you know, if you're in the area, if you want to go to Laodicea, which is nearby, definitely add this to your list. It's definitely worth the trip. Next is Notre Dame in France. And, you know, Notre Dame is so, you know, such an awesome place. I was really fortunate to be able to go inside Notre Dame and climb to the top. The top of Notre Dame has some of the best views, hands down, in Paris. You know, just you can see everything. It's just an awesome viewpoint up there. There's so much history there. And I really love Notre Dame. It's an amazing place. One of my favorite places in France, and in Paris there. So I'm not really sure how reconstruction, all that stuff is going with Notre Dame. It's been, it's been at least a year, I think, since the fire there. So hopefully, you know, one day soon that will be, you know, open back to the public and, back to normal. Next, in Paris is the Banks of the Seine. And this is another one of those random things, like the Banks of the Seine River. I mean, that's like a huge stretch, that you could claim as UNESCO World Heritage Sites. But you know, all of Paris is great, whether you're on the Banks of the Seine or not, but there's just something about walking down a river in the middle of a city, just going down the heart of the city. It's something that I've never really experienced living in the U.S. I'm sure somewhere in the U.S. that's a thing. But nowhere that I've ever lived. But it's really cool just to, you know, it allows for this crowded landscape full of buildings and houses and monuments to just be forced to open up. And it just allows for a deeper view. It allows for, you know, just a broader aspect of the city there. And so I really appreciate that because, you know, everything in Paris is just so close-knit and tight and crowded. And so even though that's amazing and you never know what you're going to see when you turn the next corner, just being able to open up and see what all Paris has to offer right there in front of you. You know, water is always beautiful and you have the boats going up and down. It just makes it awesome. You know, the lights reflecting on it, the Eiffel Tower blinking lights reflecting in the sign. It's really great. And, you know, just walking along the banks of that is definitely a great experience. Next is Angkor in Cambodia. And so this, you know, encompasses all of the wats and temples there in the Angkor complex. This is a crazy place. It's a huge site. And I spent 2 full days there. And, you know, I could have honestly spent longer if I wanted to, for sure. It's an awesome, iconic place, and I feel like you can't really go to Southeast Asia without crossing off Angkor Wat. It's another backpacker hub, and, you know, it's just an amazing, amazing location, and one that you definitely have to see if you want to go to Southeast Asia and really just experience the culture, and what all it has to offer. Next, I have back-to-back India sites. I have Humayun's Tomb, which is in New Delhi. And then the Qutub Minar, which is also in New Delhi. Both of these are really cool sites. Humayun's tomb is sort of, I believe it was like the protege or like the what the Taj Mahal was sort of based after. And so it really sort of has the same look. It's in red, though, instead of the red sandstone, instead of the marble. But it's a really beautiful site. It's a huge complex. And there's a few other really cool mausoleums and things in that complex that you definitely have to check out while you're there. The Kutub Minar is really interesting. And it's more than just the Minar. There's like a huge complex around it that I was really not expecting at all. But it's definitely worth a visit when you're in New Delhi. Next is Luang Prabang in Laos. And this is one of those things that's the entire city. The entire little town of Luang Prabang is a World Heritage Site. And, you know, this place was really cool. It's the only place I've visited in Laos. I legit just spent the entire 3 or 4 days in Luang Prabang. There's a ton to do there, but I really just loved how them following the UNESCO rules or regulations really just made the atmosphere of Luang Prabang. There was not like a ton of, you know, vehicles and traffic and things like that. They're really having to keep it, you know, how it used to be, and not really progress it too much. And so that's really cool, kind of just to step back a little bit in time, and just to enjoy. It's sort of like a little oasis there, you know, it's just peaceful and quiet. And I feel like Laos in and of itself is probably like that for the most part. But Luang Prabang is really cool and there's a ton to do there. And I really hope that, you know, it sticks to that. Next, another one. This is the last site that I didn't actually like go into, but I spent some time around it. And that's the Red Fort. This is another fort there in India. And, you know, sort of just like the Agra Fort, I did not go into it. There were some other things I decided to do instead, but it looked pretty cool. And so, you know, if you have a lot of extra time, you might as well check it out. Next is Ephesus in Turkey. Now, Ephesus is a huge site there in Turkey. I traveled all the way down to Izmir specifically to go to Ephesus. There's so much to do there. There are so many important sites. There's the library there that is just the iconic Ephesus emblem. There's a huge theater. There's the temples there and everything. And, you know, there's just so much to do and to see, and there's so much history there. It was one of the most important trading centers in the ancient world. And so it's just crazy to see, you know, what it's become, you know, over the years. Next is the San Antonio Missions here in the United States. So that includes like the Alamo, and there's a few other missions down there in San Antonio. These are really cool places. Once again, another one of the really kind of old historical places here in the U.S., and, you know, they're really awesome. There's a lot of history there. There's a lot of, you know, fighting and war surrounding them. So it's pretty interesting. And if you're in the area, I don't know if I would definitely, like, plan a trip specifically to go there if you're not in the area. But, I mean, that's one of the first trips that I ever took. When I was in college, I drove down to San Antonio. I got off of work at, like, 8:30 at night. It's about a six-hour drive. So me and a friend, we got down there at like 2 a.m. and we were just planning on sleeping in the car. And I'm like, we're going to get down there at like 2 a.m. No need to waste money on a hotel. So we find a place to park. And I mean, it's summertime. It's balmy down there in San Antonio. It's probably like 90 degrees at 2 a.m. And we're just sweating so much laying there in our car. And we're like, we cannot do this. So we go to a hotel. And the hotel is going to charge us like over $100, and it's already like 3:30, 4 a.m. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay $150 to get 3 hours of sleep. Like, that's stupid. So I'm like, I look across the street and there's a Denny's that's open. And I'm like, well, you know what? The Denny's is open. They have all you can eat pancakes. Let's just go in there, order all you can eat pancakes, and then they can't kick us out. And we can just sit there until like 7:30, 8 o'clock. So that's what we did. We went into the Denny's, ordered all-you-could-eat pancakes, and I think I ate one or two pancakes and then literally just passed out in the booth and slept until like 7 or 7:30. And then I think I ate like one more pancake and then we left. So yeah, spending the night in a Denny's definitely is not the best. We went to the Alamo, did the Riverwalk, all that kind of stuff. And then we left around like 2 o'clock. So we'd been in San Antonio for about 12 hours. We leave literally as soon as we hit, like as soon as we exit the San Antonio city limits, my friend falls asleep. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you are the worst passenger ever. And so I don't even know how many times I fell asleep while driving on the way home, but definitely way too many. And so I do not recommend basically pulling an all-nighter to go to the San Antonio missions. But if you're in the area, you might as well check them out. Okay, so that was 20 of them. And I saved my personal favorite 10 for last. So the best 10, in my opinion, for last here. So I'm going to start at number 10, obviously, and then work my way up to number 1. Now, once again, these are not necessarily... I kind of chose the top 10 based off of what I liked the most. And then out of those top 10, I not only used my opinion, but also sort of what I thought, you know, might be some historical or, you know, UNESCO World Heritage significance as well to kind of rank those top 10. Okay, so number 10 is Memphis and its necropolis. So this is in Egypt. This is not Memphis, Tennessee. This is Memphis in Egypt. And so this contains everything from the pyramids in Giza all the way to Dasher. And so this, you know, has like the step pyramids, Saqqara, all that kind of stuff is in this as well. And, you know, I kind of surprised myself putting this all the way down at 10, but there were just so many other things that I felt made the other ones sort of more significant and almost enjoyed them more. But I could not, you know, name my top 10 favorite UNESCO sites without including the Pyramids of Giza. So obviously they're, you know, hugely significant. They're like the only wonder of the world, original seven wonders of the world that's still standing. And so, you know, it's just an iconic site. You know, if you asked anyone on the street what like one famous historical structure they could name, I would say the Giza pyramid, or at least the pyramid in general, would probably be like 90% of the guesses. I'd be really interested to figure out what the other guesses would be. But I feel like the pyramids would have to kind of reign supreme on that one. I feel like everyone knows, everyone's seen a picture of them. You know, they're just iconic. And so I might have to put out a poll because I'd be very interested to see what other feedback I'd get off of that question. So the Pyramids of Giza coming in at number 10. Number 9 is the Acropolis in Greece. Now, the Acropolis in Greece, I've always, you know, thought should be one of the seven wonders of the world. Now, I haven't been to all the seven wonders yet, thanks to COVID. I'm still working on that. And so I can't really, you know, say which one shouldn't be there. Right off the top of my head, you know, I feel like Christ the Redeemer. Just because, you know, it was built in like, what, the 60s, 70s? I just don't think something like that young should be one of the seven wonders of the world. But I'm thinking of it in a historical lens, not necessarily like significant cultural lens. So, you know, once I go there, maybe I'm just going to be blown away. A lot of people say it's an awesome site, and so I'm sure it is. Maybe we could, you know, expand it to the eight wonders of the world or whatever. Kind of would lose its meaning there. But I've always, you know, thought the Acropolis is just such an impressive build. It's up on top of the Acropolis there with the Parthenon and, you know, the Temple of Nike, and there's a few other temples up there. It's just so impressive, and it's a great historical site. I went there, I guess it was a year and a half ago, and it was awesome. I really enjoyed going there. Greece in and of itself is amazing. Hands down, my favorite food I've ever had is Greek food. And so, yeah, the Acropolis is just, you know, if you go to Greece, you got to go to the Acropolis, you got to go to the Parthenon. It's just a great place to go. Number 7, I said I'd circle back to it, the Taj Mahal in India. I mean, the Taj Mahal it's something else. I mean, you're in India, and India, is, you know, it's a wild place. I mean, there's so much going on. There's so much like poverty, and there's so many slums, and there's so much just like dirt and grime everywhere. And then you just walk through these gates and you're in this pristine garden. There's this like shiny, pearly white building there. And it's just like, you can still see, you know, this dirty, muddy, kind of nasty river flowing behind it. You can kind of see slums in the distance. But at the same time, you're kind of just like removed from all of that when you're in the Taj Mahal complex. It's so weird. But it's just such an impressive sight. And it's just so significant. And I definitely could not have a top 10 without the Taj Mahal on it. I definitely recommend, I mean, you have to go to the Taj Mahal. It's an amazing place. And yeah, I'd love to go back there someday. It's a great place to visit. And I definitely loved my time while I was there. Okay, number 6 is ancient Thebes and the Acropolis in Egypt. So two Egyptian sites here in the top 10. Number 6, this is basically modern day Luxor. And so, gosh, there is so much in Luxor. There is the Temple of Luxor. There's the Karnak Temples. There's the Valley of the Kings. There's the Valley of the Queens. There's the Ramesseum. There's just so many temples. There are so many burial sites. There's so much to do in Luxor. There's so much historical significance in that place. You know, it's incredible. I definitely, as weird as it might say, I definitely enjoy my time, and I think there's more significance there in Luxor than there is in Cairo. I mean, you know, just spending time in the Valley of the Kings, there's so much, you know, historical art detail. There are so many carvings and just so much history there. It's incredible. And all the different temples. And, you know, I had some of the best times there in Luxor. It wasn't as touristy as the Giza and as Cairo. And in fact, when I went to the Temple of Luxor, I got there at opening, which was at like 8 o'clock. And I was literally the only one in this entire temple for like an hour. It was incredible. I had a great time there. And Luxor is definitely one of my top places to visit in Egypt. Okay, number 5 is going to be Yellowstone in the United States. Now, I'm not going to lie, when I was planning my road trip last summer to all these national parks in the United States, I really thought I was going to be disappointed by Yellowstone. I thought that it was going to be way too hyped up. I thought there was no way that Yellowstone was going to be as awesome as everyone makes it out to be. But let me tell you, I was wrong. This place is incredible. There's the geothermal activity. I'd never really seen anything like it before. And it's just so, so powerful. It's crazy. You know, you have all these geysers and you have the geothermal hot springs. All the different colors from the mineral deposits and things like that. It's absolutely gorgeous. There's so much wildlife there. I mean, there's elk, there's bears, there's bison, there's deer. I mean, there's just so much to see and do there. It's just so impressive. And so it definitely earns the spot as, like, you know, the national park of national parks in the United States. And it definitely deserves to be on this list. It's a huge, you know, heritage site. It's a huge monument for the United States and for just, you know, the natural beauty that this place holds. Number 4 is the Great Wall of China. The Great Wall of China is one of the most insane building projects that I have ever laid my eyes on. I did a tour of it 2 summers ago. I hiked on it for a few miles, and it never ceased to amaze me whenever we got to the top of like a ridge, and literally as far as the eye could see, you would just see little dots on top of mountains, and all those dots were watchtowers from the Great Wall of China. I mean, this thing literally went past your vision. I mean, like, you could look as hard as you could see. You could probably pull out a telescope and not see the end of this thing. It was absolutely crazy. And, you know, it has so much historical significance. It's not necessarily like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, but it's just so impressive and so mind-blowing that someone actually built this thing with their hands. And it just literally goes on forever. It's absolutely crazy, and a must-see site for sure. Number three is Halong Bay in Vietnam. Halong Bay is one of my favorite places that I've ever been. There is so much beauty there. It's just a great sight. Whenever I climbed up to the viewpoint there in Halong Bay, I literally could have sat on that rooftop for days. I mean, I could have brought a picnic lunch up there and just sat there all day, you know, made a little pallet bed, spent the night there, and then watched the sunrise the next morning. And, you know, probably not even have wanted to leave then. I mean, the views were absolutely incredible. And, you know, the city there in and of itself is awesome as well. The culture is great. The people are so friendly and nice. The food is wonderful. There's just so much to love about Vietnam. And Halong Bay is just like sort of the best, in my opinion. So definitely, if you're in the area, check out Halong Bay. It's an awesome place to go. Number two is historic Istanbul, Turkey. I'm honestly not really sure what all this encompasses. I just know that Istanbul is one of my favorite cities. And so I had to put this in the top three. Like I said last week, Istanbul just encompasses so many aspects that I love. There's historical, there's so many museums there and, you know, just historic sites. There's religious sites there, which are really cool. There's awesome culture. There's amazing food. I mean, I honestly don't know what more you could ask out of a city. Like I mentioned last week, I mean, it has like all of the accommodations, everything that you could possibly want that's good from a European city, mixed with all the amazingly good things that you could pull out of an Asian city and a Middle Eastern city, and you just combine them together and you've made Istanbul. Yes, there are bad parts about Istanbul. Obviously, there's bad parts, you know, to everything. But it just takes the best of the best, in my opinion, and just blends it all together and creates this awesome city. And so, yeah, I really cannot ask much more out of a city than what Istanbul has to offer. And I cannot wait to go back and just spend even more time there. So historic Istanbul, not exactly sure what that has to offer besides like the Hagia Sophia, the Blue Mosque, things like that. But Istanbul in and of itself, awesome place. Definitely check it out. Now, if I can do a drum roll, I could probably add a drum roll in here somehow, but I'm just going to do that. That sounds pretty cool. Probably not. Number one for my UNESCO World Heritage Site list here is Baygon in Myanmar. Wow, Baygon is an incredible place, and I feel like this made number one for multiple reasons. It made number one because it's also, you know, a lot of these places are some of my favorite places, but Baygon is one of my top places that I've ever been to. It also holds so much historical significance, and, you know, so much heritage. And cultural influence as well. You know, Baygon is this just area of land that's covered in thousands of temples and pagodas and stupas. And it's just, it's incredible. If you see, you know, any type of high view, if you are able to get a viewpoint like that, you're just blown away by the amount of these, you know, temples and pagodas out there. It's absolutely mind-blowing. I did not have the opportunity to ride in a hot air balloon there. Definitely want to check that out because I can't even imagine what that would look like. That has to be incredible. You know, but just being able to explore, it's so, like, free. You know, it's getting harder and harder to find places where you kind of just have the run of the place. And even though it's a pretty heavy tourist place, it's just so big and so expansive. That if you get off the beaten path whatsoever, you're just going to totally lose all the tourists, all the buses, and it's just going to be you. And so just being able to, you know, explore, you know, a handful of these temples, you know, kind of go inside, climb to the top of them if it's possible, it's just really cool, and I feel like we're losing places like this every single day. And so to be able to experience that while it was still so rugged and wild like it was really awesome. I know that there's like a revolution going on there right now, and most tourism has been like completely banned. And apparently this has happened quite a few years ago as well, and tourism just started opening up a few years ago. So I was really lucky and fortunate to be able to get there in the small window that I did. And hopefully, you know, everything works out there and it gets resolved quickly and without too much damage or harm or anything like that. And so, you know, tourism can be restored to this awesome place. But yeah, that's my number one UNESCO World Heritage Site that I've traveled to. Obviously, there are 1,091 that I have yet to go to. That's a lot. This is definitely not a goal of mine to see all the UNESCO sites, but you know, it's definitely, it carries weight. Whenever I see a site that's listed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, I, you know, I kind of sit up a little bit straighter, my ears kind of perk up, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. What does this place have to offer? And a lot of times it's without even knowing it. Like, I'll just buy a ticket and I'll say, oh, this is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. But then sometimes you're like, oh, I have two options. I can either go to place A or place B, and place A is a UNESCO site. And so it's just like, well, I guess I'll go to that one. You know, it must be pretty significant if it has this title to it. So, you know, all these places are really cool. Definitely check out the website. There's the website. It has literally every single UNESCO site on it. You can read a little bit about each one. There's pictures, things like that. But yeah, check out some UNESCO sites. They're really awesome. And I think that's about all I've got today. So remember, it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world, take that next adventure. If you want any pictures, you know, I was kind of all over the place today, but feel free to check out my Instagram at educateyourtravel. Check the feed, check the stories. I got something on there from each of these places. You just got to find it. And so, yeah, that's all I got for you today. Leave me a comment here. Leave me a comment there. I'd love to hear from you. If there are some UNESCO sites I've just got to see, let me know about them. I'd love to hear about it. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back here today. And peace.